Topic 127, Occultists and Mystics. 1. The path of knowledge is that of the occultist and the sage. That of love is that of the mystic and the saint. The head or the heart approach is not dependent on the ray, for both ways must be known. The mystic must become the occultist. The white occultist has been the saintly mystic. True knowledge is intelligent love, for it is the blending of the intellect and the devotion. Unity is sensed in the heart. Its intelligent application to life has to be worked out through knowledge. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 120. 2. The past has seen much application of the heart way, and in this incarnation the mental unfoldment is of primary importance. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 121. 3. The mystic is not necessarily an occultist, but the occultist embraces the mystic. Mysticism is but one step on the path of occultism. By finding the kingdom of God within himself, and by the study of the laws of his own being, the mystic becomes proficient in the laws which govern the universe of which he is a part. The occultist recognizes the kingdom of God in nature or the system and regards himself as a small part of that greater whole and therefore governed by the same laws. To make it more simple for general comprehension, after initiation, the mystic is merged in the occultist, for he has become a student of occult law. He has to work with matter, with its manipulation and uses, and he has to master and control all lower forms of manifestation and learn the rules whereby the building devas work. Before initiation, the mystic path might be expressed by the term probationary path. Before the occultist can manipulate wisely the matter of the solar system, he must have mastered the laws that govern the microcosm, and even though he is naturally on the occult path, he still will have to find the God within his own being before he can safely venture on the path of occult law. The mystic seeks to work from the emotional to the intuitional, and thence to the monad or spirit. The occultist works from the physical to the mental, and thence to the Atma or spirit. One works along the line of love, the other along the line of will. The mystic fails in the purpose of his being, that of love, demonstrated in activity, unless he coordinates the whole through the use of intelligent will. Therefore, he has to become the occultist. The occultist similarly fails and becomes only a selfish exponent of power working through the intelligence unless he finds a purpose for that will and knowledge by an animating love which will give to him sufficient motive for all that he attempts. From Letters on Occult Meditation, pages 147 through 149. 4. The mystic concentrates on abstractions, on attributes more than on aspects, and on the life side more than the concrete. He aspires, he burns, he harmonizes, he loves, and he works through devotion. He meditates by attempting to eliminate the concrete mind altogether and aspires to leap from the plane of the emotions to that of the intuition. He has the faults of his type, dreamy, visionary, impractical, emotional, and lacking that quality of mind that we call discrimination. He is intuitive, prone to martyrdom and self-sacrifice. From Letters on Occult Meditation, page 150. 5. The mystic eliminates or endeavors to transcend mind in his process of finding the self. The occultist, through his intelligent interest in the forms which veil the self, and by the employment of the principle of mind on both its levels, arrives at the same point. He recognizes the sheaths that veil. He applies himself to the study of the laws that govern the manifested solar system. He concentrates on the objective and in his earlier years may at times overlook the value of the subjective. He arrives eventually at the central life by the elimination, through conscious knowledge and control, of sheath after sheath. He meditates upon form until form is lost sight of, and the creator of the form becomes all in all. From Letters on Occult Meditation, page 151. 6. The keynotes of the occult life have been, and rightly, the notes of knowledge, of the mental approach to the problem of divinity, the recognition of divine immanence, and of the fact that as he is, so are we. There is, however, no sense of duality. The goal is the achievement of such an approved and appreciated identification that man becomes what he is, a God, and eventually God in manifestation. This is not the same as the mystical union. And yet, the whole theme is mystical and innately subjective. The time must come when the mystic will appreciate and follow the way of the head, and not only the way of the heart. He will learn to realize that he must lose his sense of the Beloved in the knowledge that he and the Beloved are one, and that the vision must and will disappear as he transcends it. Note that phrase, in the greatest processes of identification through initiation. The occultist, in his turn, must learn to include the mystical experience in full understanding consciousness as a recapitulatory exercise before he transcends it and passes on to a synthesis and an inclusiveness to which the mystical approach is but the beginning and of which the mystic remains unaware. The mystic is too apt to feel that the occultist overestimates the way of knowledge, and repeats glibly that the mind is the slayer of the real, and that the intellect can give him nothing. The occultist is equally apt to despise the mystical way, and to regard the mystical method as living far behind him. But both must learn to tread the way of wisdom. The mystic must, and inevitably will, become the occultist, and this whether he likes the process or not. He cannot escape it in the long run, but the occultist is not a true one until he recovers the mystical experience and translates it into terms of synthesis. Note the structure of the words I have used in this last paragraph, for it will serve to elucidate my theme. I use, therefore, the words mystic and mystical in this section of the treatise to describe the intelligent, highly mental man and his process upon the path of discipleship. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, pages 543 through 544. 7. It is occult students for whom search is now being made, and not mystics. It is for clear-thinking men and women that the call has gone forth, and not for the fanatic, or for the person who sees nothing but the ideal and who is unable to work successfully with situations and things as they are, and who cannot, therefore, apply the necessary and unavoidable compromise. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 654. 8. The first initiation might be regarded as the goal and the reward of the mystical experience. It is fundamentally not an occult experience in the true sense of the term, for it is seldom accurately realized or consciously prepared for, as is the case with the later initiations, and this is why the first two initiations are not considered major initiations. The mystical way leads to the first initiation. Having achieved its purpose, it is then renounced, and the lighted way of occultism is then followed, leading to the lighted areas of the higher states of consciousness. Thus, both ways are seen to be essential. The mystic way is for the majority at this time, and an increasingly large number of mystics will emerge out of the modern masses of men. Paralleling this, the occult way is attracting more and more of the world intelligentsia. Its experience is not basically religious, as the Orthodox churchman understands the word. The way of science is as deeply needed by mankind as is the way of religion, for God is equally found on both ways. The scientific way leads the aspirant into the world of energies and forces, which is the true world of occult endeavor, revealing the universal mind and the workings of that great intelligence which created the manifested universe. The new man who has come to birth at the first initiation must and will tread the occult or scientific way, which inevitably leads him out of the world of mysticism into the scientific and assured perception of God as life and energy. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 666.